Well, in the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak at Harper's in East Lansing and attempts by universities like MSU trying to open with in-person on-campus instruction in the fall, let's talk about effective health risk messages that might resonate with college students. It's always my pleasure to welcome Dennis Martell to the MSU Today microphones. Dennis is Executive Director of the National Social Norm Center and is in the Health Promotion Department in MSU. Dennis, welcome back.
Always a pleasure, Russ.
And it's great to welcome Monique Mitchell-Turner to MSU Today for the first time. Dr. Turner is Professor and Chair of MSU's renowned Department of Communication. Dr. Turner, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Whoever of you would like to begin, why don't we frame the issue? What is the issue we're dealing with here of, I guess, trying to get college-age students to take the social distancing and the mask wearing and things like that more seriously? But frame this issue for us.
What's challenging about this situation, Russ, is that in my 35 years of being at MSU, I've never had a situation where we're constantly chasing an ever-changing pandemic that's affecting an ever-changing population, which is then affecting reactions from administration for ever-changing policies and mandates. So in order for us to get an idea of how this will all play out in the fall, we needed to do a survey of students on campus and off campus as to all those issues. But right now, I think that it's ever changing, Russ. So effective health risk messages is a concept that we need to study with the students and also understand, even from our own point of view, what is the best way to help the university reopen and have the students follow the protocols that will keep them safe?
So there's some important differences between the COVID-19 response on campus and the kinds of risk messaging we've been doing for decades, right? So on college campuses, it's pretty normal to have messaging about binge drinking, smoking, depression, mental health generally, et cetera. And when students' behaviors are what we would call risky, then we can focus on the impacts that they're having on themselves in the main. So when you smoke, you're hurting yourself. When you're drinking, you're hurting yourself. Certainly there are effects on their friends and families as well. But COVID-19 is really interesting because the students' risk behaviors might not have a substantial effect on their own health because of their age. But it will have a substantial effect on a number of people around campus, including, you know, the immunocompromised people that are older adults, et cetera. And so here we are faced with an issue where student risk behaviors are affecting other people on campus. And we've never really had to message something quite like that, right? We really haven't had cases where we've had to work quickly in a dynamic and changing environment to communicate infectious disease.
So what is it about Gen Z and college-age students we need to understand now about how they receive these messages?
With Generation Z, what we know is that there are some unique characteristics that make them quite different from millennials, as well as Gen X, as well as baby boomers, and so on. And I want to point out that it's not that something's really different about Gen Z. Every generation has unique characteristics. And that's also not to say that every individual in these generations aren't unique and special. It's just that we find that generations that are raised in similar fashions in a very wide net casting way have these characteristics that will help us understand what kind of messages work best with them. And so there's been a number of studies done on this unique generation. So, for example, some studies show that they tend to be very team-oriented, very group-focused. They tend to have a higher moral value. They really believe in authenticity. They really believe in taking the higher ground and being proactive to change things that previous generations broke. So we wanted to understand this generation in a way that we could communicate with them, create messages that resonate with them. We don't want to talk at people. We want to create messages that develop a conversation.
Let me just add, I'm going to take a step back for a second, Russ, and say that, you know, this COVID era has a parallel with the HIV/AIDS epidemic. And back in the, I would say, late to mid-90s, Dr. Kim Witte, which Monique knows quite well, developed a theory called the extended parallel process model. And I bring that up because she brought me in to test that model on how do we get effective health risk messages to people who may be susceptible to HIV. And so she pioneered this theory, and this is part of what we're trying to find out from the students now, Russ, and Monique is right on with her characterization of this generation. But there are some things that cross the generations, and that is what the extended parallel process model tries to figure out. And really, it's an interesting model because, you know, it looks at the processes of when somebody faces a threat. You have four aspects. You have the self-efficacy, you have the response efficacy, you have the severity of the threat and the susceptibility of the threat. And we're trying to figure this out with this population. If you have, let's say, a high severity and high susceptibility perceptions of, say, COVID, like you did with HIV, then we try to accelerate the messages of here's how the response is. The response is to wear a mask, and this is how you use it. So that's part of what we're doing with the EPPM, the Extended Parallel Process Model, is trying to figure out where we can insert messages to help the population reduce the risk.
So what is the National College Health Assessments, NCHA3, from the American College Health Association, and can you share some of the data?
Sure. You know, MSU, I take a lot of pride in saying that MSU has supported health promotion now for over 20 years to do the National College Health Assessment. We are one of the leaders in the nation of having the most data-rich set of health variables on our population. And NCHA1, we did for a while. We switched to NCHA2, and now they have NCHA3. We were one of the only ones to get NCHA3 into the field before COVID hit. And NCHA3 is an evolution of 2, which really starts to look at some of the variables of connection, belonging, how you feel about the university. So this is a very data-rich set that Monique and I are using in part of our helping the administration to understand how to create messages. And let me give you a couple of data points, which already the university is using in some of their health-related messages. Some of the data points that I think are most important is we're looking at how students look at other students and what they believe and what they think. One of the data points is 80% of the students agree that at our campus, we look out for each other. Now, that's a really important data point in the sense that if we're going to get cooperation with masks and social distancing, we need to know if the students do look out for each other. Another data point, over 80% of the students agree that MSU is a place where the students' health and well-being is a priority. So they understand that the university thinks about their health and their safety. 90% of students agree they actively contribute to the happiness and well-being of others. Another data point which gives you some solid thinking about how students feel about the other ones and how they can contribute to reducing the risk. This one was really kind of interesting to us, that 80% of the students agree they are able to adapt when changes occur. That gives us the insight that they will can adapt. We just need to figure out how the best way to motivate them. And over 80% of students report feeling very safe on campus. These are all incredibly important data points as we start to look at how to create the messages. We usually take these social norms messages, and the social norm message is one that actually looks at what is the majority belief or majority behavior. We can take these messages and align them with the regular messages that the university wants the community to know, such as, you know, MSU students wear masks. Did you know that 80% of the students agree that on our campus we look out for each other? So they work very well with a behavioral message when you have a normative one to support it. So that's what NCHA 3 has given us so far.
So let me also ask, what is You Celebrate 2019 and what insights does it provide?
The You Celebrate is a homegrown instrument that is an output of the National Social Norm Center here at MSU. We have been the National Social Norm Center by virtue of grant for now 5 years. And during those 5 years, we have been fortunate enough to work with 12 other universities, granting them money to do the social norms approach. But we needed an assessment to look at how that campus was doing and whether they had a problem and how best to advise the campus to do the social norms approach. So we developed the You Celebrate. It's a very exhaustive instrument which looks at all aspects of campus behavior, such mostly in the area of drinking, but also in connection, the avenues in which students want to get their messages, how they want to get their messages, have they seen the messages. We now use this instrument on 12 different campuses, and we've used it on MSU's campus now 3 times. And what the You Celebrate gives us is that formative data, but also evaluation data and outcome data as to whether the social norms process is working. So we're getting some insights from 2019, such as, Russ, that for about 25 years now, we've been working on trying to understand why students back in the late 90s, early 2000s thought MSU was a party school. So one of the questions we've used on our You Celebrate now, as well as the celebration surveys over the years, is what is the most outstanding feature of the university? And we give them several different phrases and one-word answers to do. And over the years, we've seen a huge change in what students think the one outstanding feature of the university. And in 2019, the top three outstanding features were diversity, athletics, academics. Party school usually comes in about at 4.7%. But the university has changed its focus onto what's important. Some of it is based on, you know, whether the athletic team is doing well or diversity is in the news. But academics has risen significantly. You know, one of the other data points from You Celebrate that has been really important for us is that, once again, we find out that students are watching out for students, whether it's drinking or something else. You know, 70% of our students usually watch out for other students when they're drinking or doing something that could create harm. And the last one I'll talk about real quickly is, where did you see the messages? You know, we're always trying to figure out where students see the messages and whether they have a bandwidth to accept a new one and what that bandwidth needs to look like. So we ask students all the time, where do you see the messages? And believe it or not, they're seeing more on the traditional venues than they are on what we think is the technology venues. And 60% said they saw our messages on posters. 53% said they saw them in bathroom stalls. Our stall stories, where we place messages, stories in the stalls and bathrooms, seem to be one of the most popular places to get these messages. So that's some of the insight that the You Celebrate gives us.
So I think what these data indicate that Dennis just shared from NCHA 3 and You Celebrate really show us is how community-oriented our students are and how collectivistic they are. And that gives us a great window into the kinds of communication we can have with them. I mean, certainly you hear people talking about mask-wearing behaviors and physical distance behaviors and how people aren't thinking about other people. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But what we do know is that they do greatly care about other people. And so if our messages can really make that salient and point it out to people, it seems as though that would really resonate with our audience. And so I think that that is a great ray of hope for us coming into reopening.
And when you two have presented on this topic, you've mentioned motivation through pride and rivalry. Can you explain that?
Actually, you know, Russ, that when we presented to administration to try to get to see if everyone was be on the same page, because one of the things Monique and I both want is consistency of messages and not having cross messages. So one of my staff members sent me a, it was on Facebook, a spoof on U of M students saying that they can wear masks because they see some people at MSU wearing MSU gear. So it's kind of like if you can, people can wear MSU gear, you can wear a mask. So part of that rivalry, you know, MSU, and Monique has said this before too, MSU has one of the largest alumni in the world and probably one of the most unified. I don't know, and Monique has said this too, and Russ, you know this, wherever you go in the U.S., if you see somebody wearing Spartan gear, you see somebody wearing green or white, and you say go green, you automatically get a go white. I mean, there's a very unified body of alumnus here that take a lot of pride in MSU, in academics, in athletics, in all aspects of our research. So knowing that we have a very unified body and that there's a lot of pride in going to MSU, and there is a rivalry, that we can also use that if we need to.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with what Dennis just said. I mean, I'm a proud Spartan alum, 3 degrees from this fine university. And just like Dennis said, no matter where I've gone in this country or even internationally with my Spartan gear on, I find another Spartan crossing the street to let me know that they too went to MSU. So the reason we're bringing this up in our presentation is because Spartans take a great deal of pride in this university and what it stands for, and it being a land-grant university. And that's something that we should really talk about in terms of compelling people to engage in behaviors that protect other Spartans. Oftentimes, we have messages that just tell people what to do, but maybe forgets to tell them why to do it. Right? What's at the heart of this? And I was arguing that this is a very special place with a special mindset, and we should really talk to people about, you know, thwarting COVID-19 is also about protecting this university.
Very interesting. I hadn't thought of that aspect. Now, are you conducting a new survey, and describe the survey and what you hope to learn from it?
Yeah, this is a new survey that's in the field right now. And much like the surveys that Dennis and his team have collected previously, what we really want to understand is the psychological mindset of the student body. Do they perceive COVID-19 to be a threat? Do they feel it's severe? Do they feel susceptible? Do they think other people are susceptible? How common do they think it is to wear a mask or to engage in physical distancing? How are they experiencing these behaviors emotionally? Do they make them nervous or angry? We also want to understand their how oriented they are toward being a member of a group. And then, of course, we also ask them about a variety of potential spokespeople for a campaign and potential slogans or messages. We really want to understand what they think would work. We want their voice. And that's what the survey was attempting to gain.
Yeah, you know, I think Monique covered pretty much what we're trying to gain from the survey. What we're trying to do, too, is really advise upper administration how to go about the messaging. You know, Monique has done some fabulous research over the years on emotions and how emotions and anger and other things play into behavior and how people react. You know, the social norms part of this is really important in the sense, Russ, that social norms is a really positive approach. And Monique and I have already advised the university on some of their earlier sketches not to tell people what to do. What social norms does is doesn't tell you what to do. It tells you what you do. In other words, if it's normative to wear a mask, we tell the students it's normative to wear a mask, not to wear a mask, but it's normative to wear a mask. That's the challenge with the social norms approach. Is some people think that you can use it in the negative, but the social norms approach really tells you what the population is doing. And I think one of the tenets here is that we're not about correcting the students. We're about connecting with the students. And if we connect with them and tell them what their peers think, if 90% of students approve of wearing masks in classroom, then we just tell them that. Those are the data we're trying to look at and trying to advise the university as to how best to create their messages so that we can reopen. And that's pretty much what we're looking for.
Well, I thank you both for sharing these important insights. As we close, just sort of summarize what you want us to keep in mind about designing effective health risk messages for today's college students. Monique, why don't you start?
When you're designing risk messages for the college-aged group, the most important thing is to not be reactive, not to be finger wagging at them, to be condescending, to assume you know what they're thinking. Those strategies are regretfully used all over this nation, but Dennis and I would never. We respect our students. We care about their voice. We care about their health. And so what we're trying to do is develop messages that connect with them in a way that will make them engage in the safest behaviors possible.
Well said, Dennis.
There's been a lot of chatter nationally about whether COVID-19 is severe in younger populations. And we're starting to see, as I said in the beginning, it seems like we're chasing the tail of the pandemic all the time. But we now know that in the younger generation that COVID-19 can transmit quite easily. The challenge here is somehow getting the students, and I know Monique will find this in the data because that's what she's good at, the emotion to let them know that we're not wearing a mask necessarily to protect ourselves. We're wearing a mask to protect you. And that you need to protect those people who are most vulnerable. You may not experience the symptoms and severity in it. And that's what the EPPM is looking for. You may not do that, but you have a responsibility to protect your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your step-parents, faculty and staff, people who may be more vulnerable. This is what I think we can do with MSU because of the connectivity and the way MSU students think about the pride of being a Spartan. So I kiddingly say that now is a time more than ever to raise your shield and actually wear that mask to protect and keep the university open. Russ, you know, I just always appreciate you doing podcasts on these very important health issues. And I think Monique and I together share the belief that we love being Spartans and that we want people to take this seriously and to listen to their peers and do the right thing.
Well said.
Thank you both for sharing this information.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you.
That was Monique Mitchell-Turner. She is professor and chair of MSU's renowned Department of Communication. And Dennis Martell, he's executive director of MSU's National Social Norm Center. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.